want to talk to them about how Christians ought to love one another. Boy, they see that hypocrisy, and it's hard to make any and gain any ground there. And the same is true in the world. They see hypocrisy and see right through it. And so we ought to take these truths that Brother Jackie and myself are teaching from God's Word. And that's the great thing about this study and this book that we have been going through. It's all Bible based. It's all Bible centered. There's really not a lot of commentary to it. It's Bible verse upon Bible verse, and we know that faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. And so if you will, look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. And we're going to be dealing with the subject this week. The Bible said in verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another." And so this week's lesson is on comforting one another. And I don't know about you, but we need comfort from time to time. You're going to get down in the Christian life. I'm not going to be like Jackie's favorite preacher, Mr. Osteen, and say that the Christian life is just a bed of roses and everything's just perfect and great. If you don't believe that you're going to need comfort from time to time, after the service, go see Brother Jeff Gibson. Ask him if you need comfort. This week he was teaching, and I won't go into all the details, but I had no idea what was going on, but Miss Jennifer called, and I heard the fear in her voice, and she just asked me to pray, and said Jeff was on the way to the hospital, and by way of ambulance, just been over Dublin pain, and mentioned, which I didn't know about your father passing away at such an early age, I think in his late 40s, and that fear was in her mind and went directly to mine, and I thought, goodness, and so we began to pray and not knowing, and just kept checking in, texting back and forth, and finally Miss Jennifer gave me the news that they had run CT scans and on his abdomen and found that he was battling a gargantuan kidney stone. It might not be that big, but I promise it feels like it. If you've ever had one, they say for a man, that's the closest thing to ever having a baby that a man can go through. I asked him when he came in tonight if he had had his baby yet, and he said no, but he needed comfort. I'm telling you, that's an awful thing. But whether it be physical, some people mentally, or you have no idea what people are facing mentally. Do you know how many people, especially this time of year, commit suicide? This is the part of the year that has the most suicides of any other part of the year by a lot. This time of year brings such sadness and heartache, and people need comfort. I think about, it's been in the news a lot about some of the presidents to come. President Trump is making his picks for those that will serve in his administration. And one that's been in the news the last several days is the man, Pete Hegseth, that he chose to be over the Department of Defense. And as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about our veterans and all those men that have went over and fought those wars and fought those battles. And the number used to be 22 a day of our servicemen committed suicide. 22 a day. Because all that they have faced and the PTSD and all the mind battles and demons that they face, and that number is up pretty dramatically. And boy, they need comfort. I mean, just mentally, they need prayer and they need comfort. And then others need comfort financially. If you've ever been to a place where you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill or buy your next meal, that's a place of discomfort. I'm not going to get on this. I ain't got time, but listen, let me give you a word of advice. If you don't have the money to buy your children some big extravagant Christmas, please don't go get on a credit card and go run that max act thing up so you can keep up with everybody else. I promise you, because I've lived it. Them things will pass away. Them presents, they won't care one thing. And a couple of weeks from now, they won't care about them, and they'll be back to life as normal. So don't put yourself under such a strain and discomfort and distress over material things, because just show them you love them and show them and explain to them. I've had to set my girls down before and say, listen, this Christmas, it just ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be like it was last year. We just don't have it. And we do something. I ain't never give them an apple and told them Merry Christmas. I remember getting that. Hey, when I was little, my grandma gave us an apple and a bag of what we give out, fruit bags at Christmas, would make what we got from them fruit bags was way more than what we got when we was little. So it ain't all in the presents, but the devil and the world system, it puts so much pressure on people just to do more and more and more. And then before you know it, you done spent. I don't think that's the will of God, to go into debt just so you can. No. And so financially, emotionally, mentally, people stand in so much need of comfort. And that's smaller things and smaller areas that we live in, but this text is on a macro level, and it looks at life, and it looks at eternity, and it looks at what God has laid out in His Word concerning the end of time, and how we as Christian people can draw comfort. And think about that. The Lord's coming. Say amen. Listen, I rejoiced when I woke up at 3:30 in the morning a few weeks back and seen that Donald Trump had won the presidency. I said, "Woo!" at 3:30 in the morning. It woke me up. I said, "Praise God." But I promise you, that's nothing in the same stratosphere as to know Jesus is really coming. That's not a fairy tale. That is a reality. He's coming. He's coming in glory. And so with that in mind, that ought to bring comfort to our hearts. Matter of fact, the Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 1. And the Bible says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. And all God's people ought to say, amen. There's coming a day when Jesus shall call, and Jesus shall come in the clouds, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And it's not going to overtake us as one. It's not gonna be as those who are left behind. We will be with Him. We will be caught up together to meet Him. We're not going to be like those. Ain't you glad God saved you? Ain't that comforting to you that God saved you, and you don't have to, listen, you no longer have to worry about your sin. You no longer have to worry about dying and going to hell. That's comforting to me. I mean, you say, oh, goodness, I've been stressing over Christmas and how I'm going to pay for it. I've been stressing over my children or this. Or, listen to me. Compare that and put that in perspective and line that up beside the fact that you no longer have to go to hell when you die, that you don't have to pay for your sin, that Jesus is coming, and when He calls and comes, we're going with Him. We won't be here for the tribulation. We won't be here for Jacob's trouble. We won't be here for all the wrath of God that will be poured out without mercy upon this world before hell and the lake of fire. God's taking us out of here, and bless his name. That brings comfort to my heart. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, if you mark in your Bible, which you ought to, you ought to underline that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For anybody that tries to ever tell you that you're going to have to go through the tribulation, have you ever heard of pre-tribulation and mid-tribulation and post-tribulation rapture? There's preachers, and there's a big debate in the colleges and all preachers across the world. They many, many people and preachers and denominations believe that we are going to have to go through the tribulation. And that's what the Bible talks about when it says we'll have to endure till the end. And listen, and then there's others who believe that we'll have to go through the first 3.5 part. But I'm telling you, listen to me, and I ain't got time to go into that deep tonight, but I can take the Word of God and show you without question. This verse sums it up, verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world without any mercy. And God hasn't appointed us, his children, unto wrath. God's going to snatch us away from here. If you read the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, God's talking to and speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he speaks directly to them one at a time, and he says, I have this to say about you and that to say about you, and I got this against you and that against you, and I love you. And then he gets to that last part of dealing with the church, and then chapter 4 begins, and you don't read of the church being spoken of anymore. It's the church, the church, the church, the church. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then chapter 4 opens up and talks about how we're caught up out of here, that great snatching away, and then you don't read about the church all the way to the end after all of the tribulation has already taken place and is over. Then we read again about the church coming back with Jesus in the clouds. Why is that? Because of verse 9, God hadn't appointed us unto wrath. Boy, that's comforting to me. If you've ever studied about the great tribulation and what all will be faced and what all will be happening in this world, my goodness. I mean, if we never had to go to hell when we died, but had to go through the tribulation and the great tribulation, my goodness, I'm telling you, you're talking about discomforting. That'd be one of the scariest things to imagine. Or me and my age and getting older, to think about my children. What if I didn't have to go through it and I made it on and died and left this world, but my children were left behind and had to go through the great tribulation? I could not bear that. I couldn't imagine to think about that. What a comforting thought to know. Now that my four girls are saved and my wife is saved by the grace of God, that because of what Jesus did, oh, what comfort it brings to my heart to know that we will be caught up together with the Lord to be with him forever. Amen. And skip out on all the wrath that is to come to this world. Amen. Verse 10 said, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, because of that, because we're going to escape the wrath to come, because whether we die or whether we live, because we are in Christ, wherefore, because of that, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, that's the verses that we've read. That's the verses we'll be covering. We won't get through it tonight, but hopefully tonight and next week we'll do our best to do that. Just a quick overview of the lesson. The afflictions and changes of life can make us grow weary and despair. However, we who believe in Christ can take comfort that he is returning, and not just returning, but returning soon. I believe that. You say, oh, preacher, I've been hearing that my whole life. Preacher's been saying he's coming, and he still ain't come. Well, you just proving how close we are to his coming, because they will be scoffers who will say, where is the promise of his coming? And that lets you know we are that much closer to the coming of the Lord. I can't tell you when Jesus is coming. I can't tell you the day or the hour, but I can tell you this emphatically. We are closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus than we've ever been.
That's right. Amen.
And they are signs of the time appearing everywhere. And boy, that's comforting to my heart. In this study, we will learn how we can prepare for the Lord's return and comfort one another with the promise of eternity with God. Now, let me say this, and this should go without saying, but I want everybody to, if you don't take nothing home, won't you take this home? If you are saved, I just spent the whole first part of this time I have talking about how comforting it is to know that I'm going to heaven and I'm not going through the tribulation. I'm not going to experience the wrath that is to come. And that is comforting, isn't it? But I can't skip this, and I need everybody to pay attention on purpose. The Apostle Paul, who I believe to be, Jesus said there'd never been one greater than John the Baptist. So I ain't going to disagree with Jesus and say Paul was a better Christian, but I will say this, he's got to be right there with him. Paul's got to be as good as he was outside of John. And you know what Paul said? Who bore the marks in his body of serving Jesus, who had been shipwrecked and beaten and starved to death and ostracized, and I mean in prison, everything you can possibly imagine, Paul went through it. And it didn't sidetrack him, it didn't do any, it just made him go that much harder. Are you listening? This is what Paul said about the coming of the Lord. And I'm dealing with the subject of comfort and how the coming of the Lord ought to comfort us. Paul said, I tremble at his appearing. If Paul, the apostle, Paul, that great Christian who was put behind prison bars, Paul, that great man of God who penned most of our New Testament, if he said, I tremble at his presence, then my goodness, we can't just be blinded to the fact that we can live any way we want to. And heaven's going to fix it all. And that when we get to heaven, nothing matters anymore. I'm here to tell you how we live here absolutely has a bearing on how we will be there. It does. And we because we are in Christ, we will never have to go to the great white throne judgment, thank God, and be judged of our sin. But we have our own judgment. The bema seat, the judgment of Christ, where we will be judged of the deeds done in our body and the works that we have done. And that, my friend, if Paul said, I tremble, then Where does that leave us? I'm saying he's coming, and that ought to be comforting, and it is, that I don't have to go to hell. But it's also, I want to be more comfortable, and I want to be more comforted by his coming in the way that I have served him, in the way that I've lived for him, in the way I've given my life and my attention and my allegiance to him, and not wait. Listen, at all the, I look back at Brother Jackie, at all the wasted time. I mean, the time that I've given to myself, and the time I've given to frivolous things and hobbies and habits and hang-ups, and all the wasted years that I could have given to Christ and should have given to Christ, and now all that will be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble. And he's going, and I'm going to have to look Jesus, the one who bled and died for me, in the face and be judged of him. And I like Paul say, I tremble at that. I tremble at that. Don't you want to be in that verse? And don't you want to be the kind of Christian that we live such a life here, such a life of dedication, such a life that's so determined that we're not just living for this life and we're not just living for this world, but we are living for eternity's sake, and we're living in light of eternity so that we truly can draw comfort from the fact that he's coming and that it will be a joyous time. And by the way, you do know Jesus said that in the book of the Revelation, he's going to have to wipe away all our tears. Wonder where them tears and why them tears are going to be shed. We're going to be judged, and it is going to be a time of weeping, and I mean, you talking about, it's going to be the opposite of comfort. When we see all the opportunities God give us, all the blessings, all the tools, I mean the gift of the Holy Ghost in us, the gift of the Lord Jesus willing to live through us to empower us, the gift of the Word of God, the gift of the church. God has given us so many tools and blessed us in so many ways, and we have squandered it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be rivers of tears that God's going to have to wipe away. And I'm saying we should live in light of the truth and the reality that one day we're going to have to stand before him, and we ought to live that way. Not like we know it up here, but like we know it in our hearts. Amen. So that we can, when we think about his coming, we can live, and that ought to bring comfort to us. And that's what he's saying. And so we're going to look at three different things. Number one, we're going to look at the believer's conviction, the imminent return of the Lord, the empty promise of the world power. Not only the believer's conviction, then we're going to look at the believer's caution to be awake and to be prepared. Then finally, we'll look at the believer's comfort. And we are preserved from wrath, and we're promised eternity with him, and we're comforted by his truth. So, number one, as we consider the subject comfort one another, all of us prefer, wouldn't you say, comfort over pain? I ought to get a big amen, Brother Jeff. I do. I don't like pain. I don't like being hurt. I don't. I prefer comfort. And we probably are the most comfortable people that's ever lived. You think about it, how good we have it, how good God's been to us. I mean, we live in, think about this, and I'm not trying to belittle it, heaven knows, but when that hurricane come through here just a while back, man, it changed some things, didn't it? It showed us in a hurry just how reliant we had become on the luxuries of life. Because everything that uprooted and changed in our life, like no power and no air conditioning and no ice and all kinds of things like that, were things people didn't have hardly no time ago. And they were just fine, but it was like our world ended, wasn't it? Well, it was for me. I didn't like it at all. It was not comfortable. But I'm just simply saying God's been good to us. God's blessed us beyond measure, and we all prefer that than to have to live in a painful and a hard life. Perhaps the place we sense our greatest need for comfort is in the dentist chair. If the dentist is going to fill a cavity or do a root canal or pull a tooth out, we want every bit of comfort he can give us from them numbing drugs. Wouldn't you agree? I don't want a dentist going and pulling a tooth or drilling down into my mouth without him injecting me, as bad as I hate them shots, with that Novocaine. Oh, I remember halfway through I was in a wreck and it busted all my front teeth out, and I went in and they shot me up and all that, and they were drilling up into my gums, and the Novocaine wore off before they got done. And I said, "Oh, I couldn't say stop because my mouth wouldn't work right. I said, oh. And they said, "You can't feel it." I said, "Yes, I can." I mean, I was about ready to throw some punches out. It was that bad. I felt like it was trying to get to my brain through my mouth. And I mean, I pushed. I said, "Stop. Shoot me again. More shots, please. Better yet, give me that stuff that knocks me out. Put me under." And they did, and that was the most blessed thing ever. I woke up and it was done. Jeff had a similar experience. He about had a divorce this week, too. He was telling me before church. He said they got to the hospital and he was hurting so bad. They said, "We're about to give you some morphine." And Jennifer said, "Oh, no, don't give him that. He'll go crazy." And he said, "Shut up, woman. Give me that. All of it you can give me." That's how much pain he is in. He wanted comfort. We don't like pain. That's right. And so, given the choice, we would almost always choose comfort over pain. But the reality of life is this. Pain is inevitable. One way or another, whether it be physical, financial, family, a death of a loved one, having to watch a dearly mother dying slowly, having to live at the hospital and watch your daddy die, boy, that's so painful. I mean, it's painful. I don't wish that on anybody. But there's people we know going through that very thing right now, how we ought to comfort them. Especially if you've been through that before, you know how bad it is. You know how hard it is. And if you've been there and God's brought you through it, we ought to reach out and do our dead level best to comfort them and get under their shoulders and let them know God was gracious and His grace was sufficient for me to make it through that, and we're here for you, and I promise you His grace will be sufficient for you. Amen. When people go through trials of life, they turn to all kinds of therapy for comfort. From shopping, some people, when they get in a mess, they go on shopping sprees. There's a word for it, and I can't remember what it is, but they really do. Just go spend money. Some people eat. I ain't never understood that. When I'm in pain, I don't want to eat. But some people, they say, bring me some chocolate. Bring me some food. Not me. They say they're stress eating. Not me. But people have their own avenues they run to when they're dealing with pain. Sadly, some turn to alcohol. Some turn to drugs. Some turn to whatever it is. Whatever avenue they can find that'll numb them. Just like in a dentist's office, they will numb you with that Novocaine to do away with the pain. People will seek and they will try their best to find something that will numb them to the pain that they're facing. And And so that's the bad and the wrong ways to go about it. Sadly, many times in seeking comfort, people go to all the wrong places. As believers, we have been blessed and privileged of having the Spirit of God within us who comforts us in all in our time of need. Listen, the Holy Ghost's name is the Comforter. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. The disciples were, boy, they were so dismayed and brokenhearted. Jesus was telling them, I mean, keep in mind, they had done seen him die on a cross. And even right up until the cross, Brother Ned, they didn't believe he was going to die. They said, that's why Peter pulled out his sword and chopped an ear off and said, you ain't killing him. I'll die before you, Lord. You ain't dying. They didn't think he was going to die. They thought he was going to lead them in and overtake the Roman Empire. I mean, that's what they thought. And then they saw him quickly die on the cross. And then 3 days later, they saw him raised from the dead. And 40 days there after he rose from the dead, Jesus spent his time with them doing his works and getting them ready and letting them know, I'm only with you for a moment. And then I'm going to be ascending. I'm going to be leaving you. And it began to set in on them. And the heaviness began to set in on them. And there it was that day that he was going to ascend. And Jesus saw the despair in their eyes. And he said, hey, boys, chill out. Hang on. He said, listen to me. I must go away. I have to go away. But I'm going to send one to you. I'm going to send one to you, and not just one to you, but one to you and one to you. It's going to be me in the form of the Holy Ghost that will live in each and every one of you. And he's called the Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You're going to have the very Comforter himself dwelling in you. And not long after that, Pentecost came, and boy, the Holy Ghost baptized them with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they began to understand just what Jesus was speaking of. Today, we who have trusted Christ as our Savior have the Holy Spirit within us, and He comforts us in times of pain and difficulty. Wouldn't you say amen to that? Listen, Miss Charlene, I know you watching close. I'm trying not to knock that off. My time's getting gone, but I'm going to tell you, I said as Christian people, you know and have experienced the fact that the Holy Ghost of God is more than a name, Comforter. He really comforts you. I mean, probably the greatest time of need in my life that I didn't know what was going on at the time. It was all kind of a blur to me, but I remember living in Georgia. And there's been many, many other times, but this one stands out to me tonight. And my daddy called me and said, I need you to come see me. And I said, Daddy, I'm in Georgia. That's almost 3 hours away. We got phones. We on it. You want to talk to me? He said, no, I need you to come see me. And I could tell he couldn't talk good, and it sounded funny. So I drove down, and when I got to see him, his tongue was so swollen. He couldn't hardly even talk, and he told me he was dying. I said, no, you ain't. I said, we'll get to a doctor and we'll get this fixed. And he said, no, I know I'm dying. He said, I backslid on God, and God's already told me that I'm as good as dead. And he said, I want you to preach my funeral. And I said, Daddy. And I told him we would anyway. He started dying. And we began riding back and forth from Georgia to here, making them long trips. And it got closer to the time of his death. And we were staying in the hospital. And you know how that that time is. It just wears you down and grinds you down. And family was fussing. There was things going on, and some big things come up. Serious decisions had to be made, and a power of attorney come up about whether or not to pull him off, to put him on life support and all that. And it just became, it got raucous. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit was reminding me, hey, there's going to be a pile of lost people at your daddy's funeral. Every drunken packlet's going to be there. Half your family that's lost is going to be there. And you can't afford to lose your testimony because you got to preach his funeral. And so as much as I wanted to stand up and say what I thought, I had to keep my mouth shut, and the grace of God helped me just to keep my mouth shut and get through the process. And I remember I was driving to the funeral, and I felt so guilty. I was driving to preach my own daddy's funeral, and I remember feeling so guilty. I hadn't one time cried. I was with him alone when he died. My brothers, they didn't want to be there when he actually died. They were scared to death. And they said, just tell me. I'd been around so many people when they died, been a preacher. And I said, if y'all don't want to be here, y'all need to go up the road and get you a drink or something. And there we was. And off to heaven he went. And he had assured me he was saved. I got to lead him to the Lord. And I... Listen, I'm as sure, I believe with all my heart he's in heaven. And there he went. And so they wasn't that hurt of him dying and going to hell in my heart like it had been my whole life. They wasn't that anguish. It was just my daddy passed away. And I didn't understand what was going on. But I wasn't crying. And then everybody came in. Everybody was crying. All the family was crying and upset. And I remember, you know, you don't just have a funeral the next day. You get it ready and all that. And it was the day of the funeral, and I was on the way to the funeral to preach my daddy's funeral. And I just remember feeling so guilty. I said, this is my own daddy. And I ain't even wept one tear. I said, I know I love my daddy. Where is the pain? And I had pain, and I had anguish, but there was... And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart, and he said, I am comforting you, and I'm carrying you, and I'm giving you grace to get you through this because they are souls in the balance, and I'm giving you this grace period. And God carried me through that. And I preached my daddy's funeral. And God helped me and anointed me to preach my daddy's funeral. And many souls were saved that day at my daddy's funeral. And it was all, and it was 6 months later, out of nowhere, it hit me like somebody called and said, hey, your daddy just died. And I broke. And every bit of guilt that I felt, because I didn't have it back then, the tear, it all hit me then. But God give me comfort and grace to carry me through. Amen. To help the others who were going through it at the time be able to carry on a funeral service to lost and dying souls. I'm saying to you, we have the God of all comfort, and he will be faithful to you. When you need him the most, I guarantee you, whether it's in death or in life, God will comfort you. And if he did, we ought to comfort one another. Amen. Hadn't he been a comfort to you when you needed him the most? Boy, he has me. And if he has, we ought to follow his lead. Hey, did we deserve his comfort? No. And we might feel like others don't deserve ours, but hey, since he was so generous and gracious and good and kind to us, we ought to extend that to other people. When they're down, whether they deserve it or not, we ought to comfort one another. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you take, Lord, just really the introduction of this lesson this evening. And Lord, help us whet our appetite, oh God, to realize the fact, Lord, that we would run to you, God, in our pain, God, and seek you rather than some other thing that would numb us, oh God, that we would run to you, God, that you would be our comfort. You'd be our guide. And Lord God, you'd remind us that the Comforter dwells within us. And Lord, as we see others who are hurting around us, God, that we'd look back down memory lane and see that many times you have comforted us, and Lord, we would be willing to help comfort them. God, there's so many in pain right now, God, that I know of, so many that stands in need of a comfort and a helping hand. Help us as your children, as your arms and your feet and your shoulders, God, that we would hug on people and love on people and speak to people as your mouth, God, and let them know the love of Christ and comfort them in the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Shake hands, and you're at liberty. Go get your